You can turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. I love those old hymns.
Amen.
Most churches today are not singing the old hymns. What they're doing is singing a bunch of praise choruses, praise choruses. Personally, I love the old hymns. And I think they lose a lot because there's so much doctrine. Not only beautiful poetry, but much good doctrine is taught in those songs. I love them. Open to Daniel chapter 5 and stand with me, and we'll read the first 6 verses. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, so on down through the 6th. Remember at least to look at the punctuation and sort of pause at the punctuation. It was meant to be read in the churches. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them.
They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone.
In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote.
Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against the other.
Let's pray. Father, we read your word, and we thank you for it. We ask you to bless it today.
Amen.
Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And may your Holy Spirit use the word to touch hearts and lives in here, Christians and lost, whatever there be. God, we just ask your blessing, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you be seated, please? I had just been having fun back in Daniel. This is one of my favorite stories. I think about this king. And he got so shook up, it says his countenance fell, changed, and his knees smote one another. Here's a king. Now, he wasn't raised like you. I doubt very seriously I got anybody in here that's ever spoiled as this man was spoiled. He was born to be a king. He was the child of a king. You think you're going to mess? This was the kingdom of gold, the absolute monarch. There are no constitution, there are no rights in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. You didn't have any way to quit. If he said you die, you die. If he said you live, you live. Whatever he said, he was an absolute king with no restrictions. And boy, I'll tell you what, this is his son. Now, he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. You know what's happening right now? He's at war with the Medes and Persians. The war's been going on for a while. They're encamped in Babylon right now with those high, mighty walls, and they think they're so safe and protected, he decides to throw a party. I tell you what, I don't think he was too bright. You might be a little more careful when you got an army sitting outside besieging your capital, and you might ought to think a little about some other things besides your party. But you know, and I don't know how young he was or how old he was. You think about this, young people always love a party. I mean, just make a party. Read on the news and on Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday night, somebody's at a party and two brothers are so drunk they shoot one another. Or stab one another. Or somebody dances with the wrong wife, you know. Wrong girlfriend. And all sorts of troubles come. And because somebody hasn't thought things through. Now, this guy, and you know, young people, this reminds me of young people, but like I said, he might have been older. You know how you want to do something sort of sacrilegious? You know, you want to be a little mean. You want to play in cemeteries. You want to take special things that are holy and make them unholy. Bring them down to your place. Well, that's what he's doing. He's drinking wine at his feast. He's having a big time. He's got 1,000 of his lords and their guests with him. And he decides, you know, we've been drinking wine, but this wine could be better if we went back and got the golden vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. Those are holy. Those are special. Hey, porter, go over there to that place and bring me those gold and silver goblets so we can drink wine in them. And they did. And he drank wine, his wives drank wine, his concubines drank wine, his children, the princes, drank wine, and evidently some of the lords drank wine in them. And he's having a big time. He's feeling big. And all of a sudden, this is a big auditorium. Now, we could probably seat 300 in here, 350, 4 maybe, real pushing it together. He's got 1,000 lords and their families. It's a big place. Right over against the wall there, all of a sudden, while he's drinking this wine and praising the gods of silver, gold, steel, wood, brass, whatever, a hand comes out and begins to write on that wall. And he wrote, Meni. Meni repeated that one. Tiko, Upharsin. And it says the king's countenance changed and his loins were loosened and his knees smote one another. Have you ever thought about that? That to me is one of the funniest things in the world. Here's this guy being big shot, you know? He's going to try to do something big. He's the king. He's in front of 1,000 of his lords, and he's got his pride all lifted up there. And all of a sudden, he gets his miracle. A hand, not a man, a hand, writes these words on his wallet. He doesn't understand what they say. And when that hand came out and wrote on the wall right there, it shook him to his knees. His knees smote one upon another. Now, I'd have a hard time doing that. Fat legs. He must have been skinny. I don't know. You ever been shook up because you're doing the wrong thing?
Amen.
You ever been confronted by God when you were doing the wrong thing? Well, it happened to a fellow by the name of Belshazzar. He is shook up and he said, get me the college. Get me the professors. Get me the linguists. Get me the prophets. Bring all these guys that are my wise men, the Chaldeans, the sorcerers. And he brought them in. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a gold chain around your neck. You'll be arrayed like a king. You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Just tell me what that says. And they couldn't. All of the professors and all of the prognosticators and all of the wise men, they couldn't. And so, the queen, probably his mother, grandmother, whatever, comes in and says, don't trouble yourself. There is a man of the Jews that served Nebuchadnezzar really well. In him is the spirit of the living gods. He'll comfort your heart. He'll tell you what this is going to say. Go call him. So he calls Daniel. Daniel comes in and he promises Daniel. He said, I'm going to give you this gold chain and I'm going to let you be the third ruler in the kingdom and we're going to dress you in scarlet or whatever. Like a king. Daniel said, you can keep your gifts. The minute Daniel walked in and looked up there, he knew exactly what it said. He said, I'll tell you what, you knew about Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? God made him a great king. Maybe the greatest Gentile king the world has ever known. That's sort of the way I think of it, that statue of gold and going on down. Caesar and those others, and Mark Anthony, they were way down there in the little feet, you know. He said he got raised up in pride. And one day he's walking in Babylon and saying, this is the great Babylon which I have built. And he didn't humble himself before God. You see, he should have known God put him there. You ever got that much pride?
Yeah.
Oh, we got it all the time.
Amen.
We're so full of pride. We're Americans. Hey, man, we're Texans. That's better than American. I mean, that's a higher class American if you're a Texan. I know some of you weren't born here, but you got here as quick as you could. He said, do you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, one day he's the king of the biggest kingdom around, and he's walking to his palace and he's bragging on himself, look what I have done, look what I have done. I'm so proud of me. You did that last week. I don't know what for. Maybe because you drove the car right. Maybe because you got an A on a test. Or I don't know what it might have been, but we're so full of pride, aren't we? Well, this chapter is full of pride.
Right,
it's full of pride.
Amen.
I am so beautiful. I am so sweet. I am so smart.
Amen. Right.
Oh, I am so talented. Our pride comes in all sorts of packages, I'll tell you for sure. He said Nebuchadnezzar was doing that, and then all of a sudden, God struck him. You know what he did? He ate grass. His fingernails grew like claws. His hair grew until he was covered. He ate with the animals outside. They put him out. He wasn't king anymore. He wasn't ruling. He wasn't making decisions. He's acting like an idiot. He's eating grass. He's eating hay. He's eating seeds. But he's not walking into getting his big steaks or whatever else he had, whatever kind of meals he was having all of his life. Until he knew God ruled in the kingdom of men. That's what he says. That's what Daniel told him. When he knew that God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he didn't rule and nobody else ruled, God's in charge, he was restored. And he said, Belshazzar, you knew it. What do you know that you're not thinking about? Well, you know a lot. You know a lot of things that just don't really come to your mind sometimes when you're making your choices and making your decisions. He said, you knew it and you ignored it. And you lifted yourself up in pride, not in humility. And that's why this writing is on the wall. He said, you can keep your gifts, give your rewards to somebody else, but I'll give you the translation. Meaning, this is done twice. Meaning, guess I better read it. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And it's spoken twice. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Man, you want message? I'll give you the message. God put a judgment on you. God decided to come down and look in on your affairs. God decided to bring you up before His scale, and in the balances of the scale, see how you came out, and what God said, He's numbered your kingdom and He's finished it. It's over. And He repeated it twice. Tico, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God said, I looked down to find this great king of this great Babylon, and he's coming up short. He's an idiot. He's a moron. He's a self-centered, prideful fella who walks around and desecrates the things out of my temple. And who did he praise when he's drinking wine out of these things? Gods of gold and silver and stone and iron and wood and brass. Gods that have ears but can't hear. Gods that have mouths but they can't talk. He made the wrong choice in gods. He made the wrong choice in gods. How many bad choices have you made? Look back in your life. I don't care if you're 15 or 85. You can look back right now and you know there's some choices you made that were just plain stupid. Why? Why? Have you ever told yourself that? Why? 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 You got a little kid, 2 or 3 years old, and what does he say to his mama? Why? Go pick that up. Why? Eat your food. Why? Drink your thing. Why? We always ask ourselves, why did you do what you did? And I'll tell you what, we could come around in this room right here and we could have some really horror stories. Amen. And you could say to yourself, why? He made a bad choice of gods. Some of you may be making a bad choice of gods in here right now. You're choosing the gods of sex, choosing the gods of money, choosing the gods of pleasure, choosing all the gods of entertainment, choosing the gods of pornography, choosing the gods of drunkenness, drugs, and you live for them. In fact, you joke about them and you glorify them and you think you're somebody because you can do these things, and good, smart people don't do those things, but you're tough. You're cool. You're the cat's meow. Coolest kid in Alamo City. You choose the wrong gods.
Amen. Amen.
He chose the wrong gods. And then he said, the other word was Perez. It was actually Eupharson, and Eupharson is the plural of Perez. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians are right out his gates. They've been having an army out there cutting things off. They tell me that Darius's group that took it over blocked the Euphrates River, and the water ran on out and they walked in under the walls. And they killed Belshazzar that night. Now, would you be scared if some raw hand come into your house and started writing on the wall, maybe in blood? Would you think about of a miracle? All these gods you've been praising, did you think it might have been one of them? I doubt it. I doubt he ever thought about the gods that he'd been drinking wine to and praising and standing up for. I doubt he thought about it at all. No, this is something real. Not some God I made, not some God I chose, not some God who can't talk or can't do. This must be the real God. If you choose any of these things to be your gods, you don't choose the living God in whose hand your breath is. You know, I get up every morning. And you know what I think? God gave me another day. I don't think that I have such a good metabolism, that I'm in such control of my diabetes or my heart trouble or my sinus or my other things. You know what I think? I think God said, you got another day, Lindell. And hey, I thought I was going to be dead by 60. That's the truth. And I just keep getting up. Isn't it amazing? Now, I don't mind going to heaven. If tonight the Lord just lets me go to sleep and I wake up in His presence and you got to find a hole to put me in, don't worry about it. But if I wake up, You know what I know? God preserved me one more day for some reason. There's somebody I got to talk to. There's somebody I've got to preach to. There's a letter I've got an answer. There's a phone call I've got to listen to. I've got to do something and maybe just keep Berlin company. Be careful the gods you choose, and bless your heart, anything that gets in front of God and His will is what you choose.
Amen. Mercy, Lord.
Some of you are not serving God like you ought to because you have other gods.
Right. Amen.
You have other things that take your attention. They're your passion every day and night. It might be the television. It might be the computer. It might be the drink. It might be the friends. I don't know what it might be. But you ought to be real careful because this idiot chose the wrong gods. And his story tells us he chose the wrong gods. And Daniel tells him, the God in whose hand is your breath you did not praise. You did not choose. You did not glorify. You did not honor. And as far as I'm concerned, if you know what I think you ought to know, if you've listened to as much preaching as I think you have, you ought to know that the Bible tells you there's a God that's watching down on top of you.
Amen.
He's in your bedroom. He's in your living room. He's in your automobile. And He's watching what's going on. And let me tell you something else. One thing about this God, He's a judging God.
Amen.
He gives examinations. I know you like these teachers that just give you a grade with no tests. Huh? No. Most teachers are going to let you get what you get. You got to pass the test or don't pass the test. Now, I admit, I've seen some really unfair teachers. But the great majority I've known were not unfair. In fact, they were very kind and just go bend over backwards to help somebody out that wanted help. My kids will say something and doppelganger the other day. What is doppelganger? Oh, it's twin. German word. Well, if you'd have went to Burbank, you'd know that. See, if you went to Churchill or someplace like that, you might not have got as good an education as Burbank. I went to Burbank. I had a lot of fun with my kids over there. I tell them, oh yeah, if you'd have went to Burbank, you'd have got that. What kind of choices are you making? Let me tell you, you're just not the only one interested in your choices.
Amen.
God is interested in your choices. God pays attention to the way you think. God pays attention to the way you read His Word. God pays attention to the way you treat your mother or father. God pays attention to the way you treat your friends or your wife or your children.
All right, amen.
God's weighing you in the balances. Let me tell you what, you're going to come up short. Belshazzar, he's a king. In the great kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. And he came up short. He was weighed in the balances and there wasn't much there. How about you today? God's weighing you. You're on the scale. When I was a missionary, almost all of the food that I got that came around was from a scale. And these are little handmade sticks with a little string in the middle and a couple of bowls. And he'd say, I want 2 kilos of this. And he'd put 2 kilo weights. They might not have been right. Most of the time probably weren't. Nah, most of them are probably. And then he put the vegetables over here, and when they leveled out, that's what you got. But every once in a while, you know, you drop that kilo thing in there, and that thing goes all the way down. This over here was the light side. God took Belshazzar and said, let me put you on the scales. Let me see how you stand up to my examination, to my test. And he dropped him in there and he went up light. He wasn't a king like Nebuchadnezzar. And he certainly wasn't smart enough to learn from Nebuchadnezzar. So that he made the same foolish, prideful decisions. And God said, thou art weighed in the balances and aren't found wanting. How about you today? How about your spirituality? How heavy are you spiritually? They put you in the scales, your spirituality. Let's just say in this room. And, oh, my friend, it's not this room. But even in this room, how would you weigh? As God speaks to you, touches your heart, tells you what He wants out of you, wants that love, wants that compassion, that desire to win souls, that desire to understand the Bible, that desire to do something for God while you live, and He puts you in the scales today, where do you come up? You come up short.
Amen.
You come up short. Now we ought to think about that. The only way you can win is if you have Jesus on your side. And no other way. No other way to win. Just Jesus on your side. We've got a couple of verses. Ecclesiastes. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, I missed it, 11:9. Ecclesiastes 11:9. What does Solomon have to say? He said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment.
All right.
You know what he said? Go ahead and have your fun. Go ahead and make your choices. Choose your own gods. Choose your own pleasures. Choose your own things. Live your own life. Be independent. And know this, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now turn the page and look at the last two verses of Ecclesiastes. 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You're in here today, and that means you have a second chance.
Amen.
Belshazzar didn't get it. God came down and wrote on the wall of that great auditorium, thou art weighed and the balances aren't found wanting. Your kingdom is departed from you. It's finished. And that night, Belshazzar was slain by the Medes and the Persians. He didn't get a second chance. You got a second chance today. You got a second chance. I don't know how many you've had before, but you've got one today. If you're alive and walking and talking and breathing and you can hear the words out of my voice and you understand them, then you know what you know? You have a chance to seek God's face. You have a chance to repent. You have a chance to say, God, I am sorry. I am stupid. I am foolish. I am sinful. I am sorry. Forgive me. And if you're here and you're not saved, you have a choice to take Jesus as your Savior. Oh, what a day. What a day that was when Christ stepped in the scale on my side.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm a winner. You say, you don't look like a winner.
Amen.
I don't care what you think I look like, my friend. I am a winner.
Amen.
Because Jesus paid my debt.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to be judged by Jesus in my scale. And that's the only way you'll win. Absolutely the only way. You can't win any other way.
Amen.
Do you actually think you're smarter than God? Some of you do. But that just shows how ignorant you are.
Amen.
You don't know enough about God yet. If you learned a little more about God, you'd realize what a little pea brain you do have. Wow. You've got the opportunity. You've got the chance. You walked into a Christian church. You walk into a place that preaches the gospel week after week after week, out in the streets, in gospel tracts, over the internet, through those tapes and discs and whatever we're sending out. The gospel's going out. If you're lost in here today, you need to accept Christ as your Savior. You need to humble yourself. Don't be like Belshazzar. When he knew he ought to humble himself, he didn't. He didn't repent. He just tried to be a little more sacrilegious. Tried to be a little more smart aleck. Tried to be a little more me, mine. My entertainment, my joy. What'll make the drinking wine better? Oh, those holy vessels will make it better. But you know what you did? You insulted the living God. He's the one that sees you. He's the one that's weighing you. And I want you to know, you don't have a chance without Jesus. God, in His mercy, decided not to judge everybody on their own works. You'd be in trouble if you got judged on your works, wouldn't you? I think you would. God, in His mercy, decided He would have you judged by Jesus Christ. What are you weighed against? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And every single person comes up short. There are no people good enough to go to heaven. There are no people that have quit enough to go to heaven. There are no people that have praised God enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
And it's certainly not you.
Amen.
But He said, I'll make a way. He took Christ, put Him on the cross of Calvary. And there He laid the sins of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
And Christ died under that load. The substitute for you. And that's why if you'll take Christ as your Savior, He'll not only forgive all your sins, He'll save your soul for now and for all eternity.
Thank you, Lord.
And oh, my friend, when you recognize how short you come, there's a God that listens to repentant prayers. If you're not repentant, you're not thinking even straight.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't have anything to repent of, you're not thinking clearly.
Amen. All right.
There's not a person in this room that doesn't need to ask God for forgiveness.
Amen.
55 years ago, I asked God for forgiveness, and I'm still doing it. I'm still confessing, Lord, I failed you. Lord, I let you down. Lord, I shut my mouth when I opened it, and I opened my mouth when I said I shut it. Lord, I've lost my temper. Lord, I've gotten insulted. I've got all these things. Oh, man, I got to go to God all the time. Because I want a clear conscience. I want a clear way. I want my prayers to touch heaven. Christian friend, as you walk this life, it is a life of repentance. You know you come up short.
Amen.
And my lost friend here, man or woman, boy or girl, you come up short. You're not good enough to go to heaven. You need Jesus. And you need to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you of your
Amen.
Sin and save your soul and change your life. Let's stand and sing number 199. Number 199. If you're here and God has spoken to your heart,